Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 223rd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a bi-weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as new Mainers. My guest today is Andre Masanga, and he's brought with him his coordinator for English language learners and at the adult ed in Biddeford, Sam Smithwick. Andre was born in Bukazao, Cabinda, Angola, one of seven children. During civil unrest in 1966, his family fled to a UNHCR refugee camp in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where they lived for 5 years. He studied electromechanical engineering at university. In 1997, he returned to Cabinda, where he served NGOs and government and eventually became the provincial director of water and energy. His specialty is water treatment. Andre came to the United States in October of 2018. He's lived in Biddeford, Maine since May. Even now, he continues his work towards social justice for the disputed area called Cabinda. A year ago, two of your friends from Cabinda were on the show, and they explained the situation in Cabinda, a sliver of very rich land about the size of Massachusetts between Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo that's claimed by Angola, mostly because both areas were colonized by the same country, which is Portugal. However, being non-contiguous and not being treated as equals while being used for resources has created ongoing unrest. If you wish to listen back to those interviews with more detail on Cabinda, go to newmainerspeak.com and search for 193, the interview with Anselmo Pemba and Omri Malanda. Thank you for joining me here today, Andre. That was kind of a long intro.
That's what, thank you.
Andre, I wondered if you would start by describing your life in the UNHCR camp, and that was just something you went through as a child. What was it like in the camp?
So, thank you for having me here. My terrible story begins in November 1975. I was 10 years old, 3 days before Angola independence in November 11, 1975. Until that moment, Portugal had occupied Cabinda as a protectorate under the Simulambuku Treaty signed between Cabinda and Angola on February 1st, 1885. 9 years later, finally Portugal was leaving Cabinda, opening the way for Cabinda independence as the 39th African state to be decolonized. But suddenly, unbelievable things happened. The popular movement of Angola Liberation, MPLA, which was a socialist regime supported by criminal military troops, as well as Russian, invaded Cabinda. Angola and Cuba had sophisticated equipment such as fighter aircraft, tanks, and armored cars. It was terrible, a real hell. My family and I, an old village, ran away to Congo, DRC, going through the woods, crossing the border at the Chilwango River by canoe at night.
At night.
At the border, Cuban force had planted anti-personnel mines just days before. Many people fell prey to them. It was so awful to witness such violence at my young age. We stayed for 3 years at a village near the border in the Congo. Nobody, for me and my colleagues, was studying in this moment. In 1978, four refugee camps were established by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, namely Lund Matindi, Kimbianga, Fwiki, Sekizulu. These camps exist today. The experience at refugee camps of Lund Matindi was very difficult for a 15-year-old. The camp was an open space in savannah. No tents. It was limited only to primary support. They gave us food and sometimes clothing. Each family set up is shelter with straws and palm branches. Many children, women and elders could not survive these hardest conditions. Many of them lost their lives. This sad experience marked my childhood. Finally, the HCR created schools in the refugees camp. The dream and hope lost in the villages near the border was finally recovered as finally resumed my studies after 3 years.
You must have known children that were your age that didn't make it through that hard time.
Yes.
And what a scary thing for children to see other children not making it.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Really affected you profoundly.
Yes.
I imagine some of that grief is what drives your clear vision now for helping the people of Cabinda after so much loss.
That's why we're engaged for that.
You've turned that into something powerful. It seems like Angola and Cabinda are very different culturally, and they're many miles away from one another, with the Democratic Republic of Congo located in between the two parts of what's considered Angola. What is it that makes Angola want to continue to rule Cabinda when it's not attached to it?
Of course, Angola and Cabinda have considerable cultural differences and customs. We have three sufficient cultural reasons. First, our typical language, called Fiote, is spoken in Cabinda and the Angolan country. Second, a cultural historical event like the three ancestral kingdoms of Cabinda, namely Makongo, Mangoyo, and Maluango, is only on Cabinda, in Cabinda, not in Angola. You can find it in Angola. And third, the Treaty of Simulambuku was signed by Cabinda and Portugal in 1885, taking Cabinda as protectorate of Portugal. You'll never find it in Angola. The two countries are geographically separated from by 60 kilometers, with DRC in between. Angola continued to rule Cabinda by force, plundering Cabinda for oil riches. Prior to Angola's invasion, Cabinda had always been separate from Angola.
So, you're separate, you're different cultures, you speak different languages.
Very different.
What do they want?
We don't know.
Really? It's not the oil, the diamonds, the hardwoods?
Just personal interests.
Mm-hmm. Yes, your little slice of land ends up having all the riches. Yeah, so even though the agreements say otherwise, they say you're part of us.
Yes.
Yeah. Cabinda's loaded with resources, though most residents live in poverty, with only a few rising up as you did to get educations and work for large multinational corporations like YME. What is that like for you, a child from a refugee camp who's gotten the opportunity to become an electromechanical engineer and to serve your country as you have? What does the poverty look like in your country?
As it's well known, Cabinda is responsible for 70% of Angolan economy.
Wait a second. The riches from your country, yes. Cabinda, your protectorate,
yes,
provides 70% of all the income, yes, for the country of Angola, which is, yes, very large.
Yes.
Okay.
But with 1.7 million barrels of oil produced by day, it makes Angola the second largest producer in Africa. Cabindan oil revenue is divided by 71% to Angola, 49% to different foreign countries. And Cabinda get 0% without any compensation. Therefore, Cabinda riches are plundered by foreigners, leaving the people of Cabinda in extreme poverty and facing alone the negative environmental impacts for future generations. It's a global crime.
It sounds like a crime. What does the poverty look like if I were to land there by helicopter and look around? What would I see?
A disaster, just like an abandoned village.
A barren village?
Yes.
Uh-huh. When I looked online, I saw a lot of trash. There's, yes, no trash collection. Are there schools?
Yes. Schools and the health situation is very bad. So the difficulty in the country is, in Cabinda, is so many.
Right, so the infrastructure like roads and bridges, they're very weak.
A disaster, very weak.
Right, so it's very difficult to organize and be a healthy country, even though you're producing 70% of Angola's income every year with the oil.
Yes, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So all the revenue of Cabinda is managed by Luanda. Cabinda had nothing. Luanda to decide administratively and politically of everything for Cabinda.
That's the crime.
A big crime.
As I read in the Voice of America article that you shared with me about Cabinda from 2015, I couldn't help but notice some similarities between Angola's relationship to Cabinda and Russia's relationship to Ukraine. Have you ever thought about them being alike?
Absolutely. The Cabinda case can be compared to Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2014. After the Russian Revolution, the Soviet Union absorbed Ukraine in 1922. Ukraine regained its independence in 1991 with the disintegration of the Soviet Union. So in 2014, Russia launched an invasion aimed at annexing Crimea by force. Today, part of Ukraine is still occupied by Russian militias. Ukraine continue to resist Russian aggression now. By the way, Cabinda signed with Portugal the Treaty of Simulambuco in 1885. Portugal promised to protect Cabinda against any foreign invasion. In 1956, Portugal decided to combine the administration of Angola and Cabinda together. And in January 1975, Portugal met with three parties that fought for the independence of Angola, that MPLA, UNITA, and FNLA, signing the Alvor Agreement unilaterally annexing Cabinda to Angola. Cabinda was not represented anymore at this meeting. Days later, fighting resumed between the parties concerned. Cabinda was unilaterally invaded by Angola in November 1975, days before Angola's independence, with the support of Russia and Cuban force. The difference is the Ukraine received the support of the international community, while Cabinda is alone in its liberation struggle.
Good point.
and being plundered by Angola and other countries. Why should this be important? This is my question. Why should it be important to the United States? According to Aaron Martin Luther King Jr., injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We share together a global economy. Challenges of climate change. And we share the same right to freedom, dignity, and democracy in this world.
An injury to one is an injury to all. Yeah.
Yes.
And do you have a guess as to why the international community would recognize Ukraine and forget about Cabinda?
That's what I'm asking, why?
Yeah. Might it be a continental difference? It's such a curious question. You're a good thinker. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Andre Masanga. He's originally from Cabinda, Angola, and he is a highly skilled professional who's worked in international organizations. Andre speaks seven languages, is an electrical engineer, and is here today to talk about social justice for the disputed region called Cabinda. You and some of your colleagues have organized a High Council of Cabinda. You've been voted the new General Secretary of the group, which met last October in Accra, Ghana, at the Kofi Annan Center, for peacekeeping training and planning meetings. Can you tell us about your organization and the goals of the High Council of Cabinda?
The OAD, Organization for African Development, organized a conference from 21 to 24 October 2019 at the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center in Accra, Ghana. The inter-cabinet meeting brought together several political organizations, associations, religious entities, as well as independent cabinet. A High Council of Cabinda was created with the mission, one, pacification of the Cabinda territory through dialogue.
Pacification?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Through dialogue, in order to consolidate peace and reconciliation to assure such economic development and stability for the well-being and dignity of Cabinda's people. Two, reach out to all the movement and individuals who did not participate in the meeting. Three, renew the confidence of the international community and again support for this peace process using diplomatic and peaceful means to achieve the objective set.
You're using your power to look out for your whole region of Cabinda.
It's all we have to do.
Peace.
We have nothing more.
Yeah. What's the likelihood that you all will be able to make a substantial peaceful change in the region?
So, as long as it may take, peace and change are indispensable in any conflict. In Cabinda's case, it is 45 years of plunder, the discussion of many generations, my generation, my parents' generation, and my children's generation. I hope that the United States of America, as a world leader in the defense of human rights and dignity, and in defense of democracy, as the main partner in oil exploration in Cabinda, will accept the same fundamental principle as in the case of Ukraine invasion.
Yes, you make a good point there that maybe most Americans have never heard of Cabinda, but the U.S. government knows about Cabinda because of the oil production, right? And the companies, the multinational companies that are there are speaking English, correct? A lot of Shell oil and other oil producing companies. Yeah.
That's why we're working for that.
So you're looking for the U.S. to go ahead and be partners with these people that they're working with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Recently, I understand that there's been some news out of Cabinda regarding the former president's daughter. I wondered if you could give a little nod to that. What's going on there?
There's millions of dollars lost by corruption in Angola through Senegal. It's part of 51% of Cabinda revenue.
Senegal
is the company who's managing the oil okay. product in Angola.
All right. So there's been how many million dollars?
Multi-millions?
Yeah. Multi-million. Many millions.
Yes, many okay. money. So the daughter of the former president, Isabel dos Santos, is now being accused for that, for the corruption for that.
The daughter of the former president might be
yes.
having her hand in the pocket of the prophets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the funds from the oil of Cabinda are considered as an extra source by the imperial regime to sustain war that lasted more than 27 years with UNITA. To ensure the regime and its power in the region, and finally to enrich the elite in power and their families. It's in this sense that the daughter of the former president, and others, still in the power in Angola now, have the freedom to lose the wealth of Cabinda without mercy. For 45 years now, leaving the people of Cabinda and the people of Angola in poverty. In our modest opinion, this money stolen from Cabinda to do justice should be reverted to the owners to solve several problems of health, education, etc., and start a new era to liberty and dignity. For the people of Cabinda. This is our opinion.
Yes. So when one person is taking millions and others don't have clean drinking water and trash service,
yes,
there's an injustice. So what's your dream for the people of Cabinda? We use our imaginations, and they're powerful if we can see where we're going. What would you want for Cabinda?
My dream for the people of Cabinda is to regain their freedom and dignity. Lost since our ancestral signs, the Treaty of Simulambuku with Portugal in 1885. It seemed to be the only way to protect their children and future generations in the face of foreign invasion. But they were wrong. It makes now 135 years of double occupancy, first by Portugal and now by Angola, where people like anywhere in the world would deserve the same consideration to be independent, sovereign nation. It's a shame for Portugal. It's a shame for Angola. It's a shame for the free world, sacrificing the people because of the value of their resource. It's a big shame.
It is. You're calling them on it. You're seeing it and saying it. It's big work you're doing, Andre. Heroic work. Thank you for sharing with us that perspective and for bringing to our attention that Cabinda's been overlooked as in the international community. You have not been here all that long. I'm kind of curious about what's next for you when you get your work permit. What kinds of work will you be looking for here in Maine with that fabulous resume of yours?
Thank you. For more than 20 years, I worked in the water sector, based on the idea that war is life and war is life-giving. I have a great respect for life. The single most precious gift given freely and unconsciously to every human being is life. No one can create it, and no one should take another's life or enslave another human being in the 21st century now. I would like to do the same thing as always, supporting life through water.
That's beautiful. I don't think many people feel as connected to their work as you do, but you are working with the fundamental element of all of our lives, water. And we're so lucky to have you here in Maine, a place where we do not have enough water management specialists, and you are going to be a gift to the state of Maine.
Thank you. And I would like to thank the American people who are here with this radio fest to give us the opportunity to speak and to let know the American people about the charm of Cabinda. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's my honor to know you and to have you here in the studio with me today. And I just want to give a quick nod, though we're running out of time, to the fact that you've brought your friend Sam with you. Can you say why you brought Sam real quickly? Or Sam, just jump right in, actually, with the little time we have.
You know, in my work as a language coordinator, that's really the common core for getting anywhere and getting anything done, and how to survive in Maine is first assisting with that. But Andre and I, because of my studies in history and trying to be an active member of our own government and an active citizen, Cabinda's state is very much something that we should be concerned with. If we support democracy here, we have to support it abroad. So we've created a friendship around that.
Well, thank you for the work you do. If it were not for English, I would not know what a magnanimous and talented man I'm sitting with. His English is coming along beautifully. Is this your eighth language or your seventh language? way deep in. Andre, you are loyal to your country, devoted to justice, and are working hard to make a life for yourself here in Maine while you make better lives for the people of Cabinda. I wish you the very best on both fronts, and thank you so much for being my guest today.
That's me. That's how to thank you.
And thank you all for listening. If you'd like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Andre not only has selected for us, but will actually perform for us. He is singing the song, which is called
Peace in the World.
Peace in the World. Thank you.
Cheio de angústia, de sofrimento e de dor. Até quando, Senhor, viveremos as guerras? O derramamento de sangue de inocentes?